play.
Sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building, nigga.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. Coming at you live. You can find us on YouTube, on iTunes, and all your other Spotify's, SoundCloud's, the works. Give us a rate and review. We'd really appreciate it. You can check me out on Twitter at BDintric. And my co-host, as always, to help preview this week's Houston Open, he's on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. How you doing?
I am doing well. It's a wonderful Monday. We have another just wonderful primetime football game on right now. And we have 1 week, Jesse, 1 week to get to the important stuff.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's just the buildup is going to be great. The only thing I realized today, like, this is my busy time of year at work, like insanely busy time of year at work. And I was like, how am I going to manage watching golf all day on next Thursday and Friday and still be able to work? Because literally I can't take like a second off.
That's so, why I love it, because usually it's slow for you. Like, it's in April and I'm balls of the wall.
Yeah.
Now I'm slow, so I can actually sit Thursday and Friday. It's going to be freaking, I'm looking forward to it. Really am. Yeah. And I'll keep you posted. No, I'm pretty sure you'll have some screens up around your office. I'm not too concerned about that.
I mean, I'll have it on, but how much I'll be able to pay attention is,
yeah.
But maybe I won't want to pay attention, you know, given my last few weeks of, or last, I guess, few months really of PGA DFS here. It's not been stellar in my picks.
It's actual teams. It's been wild. Like, before COVID, we were rolling.
Yeah, we were both doing, like, pretty well.
Rolling. We were top 10 in and the junkies, and just, everything was going great.
Yeah.
Then COVID hit, and I swear it's every week. And we talk about the Slack chat. Even this week, it was through 1.5 or the afternoon on Friday, I was looking like 3 6-6s, and then implosion took place. It's just a tradition unlike any other right now. The Friday implosion. How it happens is just remarkable these days. Absolutely. Nothing surprises me anymore. And all I know is I love the guys in the chat, because they appreciate golf and they found a love for the game, and they just tilt with us and they just laugh. Like, it's just so ridiculous. So it's a lot of fun in there. But let's give a quick recap of the Bermuda, you know, where Henrik Stenson decides to withdraw, and Pat Perez goes after round two, finishes, goes and withdraws. And a couple other fun stuff like that for people to tilt. And then you have Brian Gay winning in a playoff over Wyndham Clark. Brian Gay went from like 318 in the world to 182 with the W. I saw a stat, it was Brian Gay, Ryan Armour, and David Hearn. Now that it's been two straight years for Bermuda, they're all three of them, top 10 both years. Which is pretty interesting if we want to do course history next year. Something to think about. But what's your takeaways? Because the some I watched, it was good, but the weather was ridiculous on Friday. Ollie Schneiderjans was back. What was your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to say about it. That the wind, like, really, really was whipping on Friday. And I know blew a lot of people literally off the golf course, I feel like. So, yeah, I mean, Brian Gay, dude, what's cool about golf is, like, I read something, I think it was today or yesterday, that he was basically ready to just quit because, like, he's playing so bad and people just kept saying, no, you know, keep going. You're going to break through at some point. And then he fucking does. I mean, I feel like, I don't know if this is maybe two in a row or whatever, but, like, every fall swing we're having, like, all these old guys win.
Yep.
And, you know, not to say that, when I say old, I'm relatively old or whatever, but I expect to see some of the younger guns, you know, pop up there. Like, Doc, I know, had a chance, and then he shoots 2 under on Sunday and loses by 3 strokes. I think he was in the last group, I believe. Yep. Denny McCarthy was up there. He had a chance. Ollie, man, it's been a while since we've seen him contend anywhere. So yeah, I mean, it was the Bermuda that's, yeah, I don't know.
It was cool to see. Like, that's why we love the fall swing, because he, you know, sinks one. We saw Swofford come back. He was a guy that was ready to quit. Brian Gay, like you said, I didn't realize he was as old as he was. He's like in his late, I think he's 47 or 48, which surprised me quite a bit. Did not see that one coming. But yeah, you're seeing a lot of that. The Young Guns, like, they're playing well. They're just not finishing. Maybe that's what this is good for, is to get them prepped to keep contending enough, and then you eventually break through. Because, you know, Lanto, he's been playing well, and we'll talk about him and some of the price bumps we see this week on DraftKings. But it'll be interesting to see how it comes over. Like, heck, at the Bermuda, Fred Funk made the cut. Fred Funk, the oldest man. I think they said the oldest man to make a PGA Tour cut. So just wrap your head around that one for a second. So, yeah, it was cool. It was fun to see some of these guys get it done. I guess Ollie, the last thing I'll say is he's been playing on the Korn Ferry, and he's got, I think, 3 or 4 top 10s in the last, like, 2 months. So he's getting it going. I read a thing on him, how he's talking about it was good to go back to his roots and just kind of clear his mind and work on things and do it that way, and it's going to help him out. We'll see. It's Bermuda. He's in the field this week. We'll see how he contends in Houston. But let's just get to Houston. It's going to be an interesting one. 1 week, like I said, towards the Masters. New golf course, but we have some past event history, I guess. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is a brand new golf course, so it's event history. It's not course history at all whatsoever. Lanto won the tournament last year, 14 under, one shot over Scott Harrington and Mark Hubbard. Ian Poulter won this tournament in 2018, which I think is the last time it was pre-Masters.
Yeah. He had to win it to get in, and he won it, yep, like with that putt. Or is he gonna go? Did he go playoff or no playoff?
Yeah, playoff over Bo Hostler, 19 under par. Was wild. Yeah, that's when he was stumping his chest or whatever. Yeah. This used to be known as the Russell Henley Open. He did win it in 2017, but he had a bunch of other really good finishes, and it's been a bunch of randos. Jim Herman, JB Holmes, Matt Jones, DA Points, Hunter Mahan.
It's Murderer's Row right there.
Yeah. And then before that, it was kind of like, if we go back to 2011, Phil Mickelson, Anthony Kim, Paul Casey, Adam Scott's a past winner. But, you know, again, brand new golf course. So it's just all event at this point. And, we don't have any course history. So that's your event history.
Yep, event history. This tournament, I forgot to mention at the beginning, 132 golfers, I believe, top 65 in ties. So not like your 144 type tournament, but still pretty large field. Enough chaos can ensue. And usually when it was like back in April or whatever before the Masters started, you'd see some guys use it because the course was built kind of to, you know, be like the Masters, the rough around the greens and all these things to kind of get guys ready. So a lot of guys would go play it, but then some would like bow out after two rounds and go to Augusta and stuff. I think a lot of the bigger names that are here this week, this course isn't built like to get you ready for the Masters except if you have a good fade on a couple holes, just like you do at Augusta. But I think this is more guys that need to get some more reps in to get ready. Like DJ's coming back from COVID, Scott's coming back from COVID, things like that. So that'll be interesting. But the golf course we're talking about, Memorial Park Golf Course, it's a public course. It only costs like $38 to play, which I know you played some PGA courses. I played some PGA courses. Mine all start with three figures.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know what to do with $38 PGA course, just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
So that's pretty wild. I guess they get like 50,000 rounds a year or something on this place because, you know, in Texas, you can pretty much play year-round for the most part. So it's a very popular golf course. I'm curious to see how it plays for the big boys. But Tom Doak remodeled it recently to get it ready, or renovated it recently to get it ready for this. And you probably know, but I'll throw it out there anyways. Do you know what PGA Pro helped him renovate the golf course?
I don't.
Big Brooks Koepka.
Brooks, really?
Big Brooks Koepka. So he might know this course a little bit. I think a lot of these guys might know this course a little bit. But Brooks, he helped renovate this about 5-6 years ago, I believe. Bermuda throughout the whole course. So it's a lot like a Florida course. And that's one reason why Texas doesn't, just like Florida, you can play year-round. That Bermuda grass can, you know, with the humidities and all the moisture and all that stuff, they can handle the tough weather conditions. But Bermuda throughout the course, Bermuda greens, it's, like I said, par 72, 7,400 yards. It's kind of long. It has 5 par 5s again. So we saw that recently on a tour. Most of them are pretty gettable, but most of them might need like a longer iron to get in, so it might not be as easy to get to, but is gettable. There's 5 par 3s. 3 of them are very long par 3s. So another long iron situation, less like the par 5s to approach. The par 4s aren't bad. There's a couple long ones there. In Texas, you can always get windy conditions. That can make this course pretty tameable. They're tree-lined fairways, but the trees apparently aren't that bad. Like, you can hit into them, and you usually have an out a lot of places. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. The rough usually isn't penal at the Houston Open, but at this course, they're saying because it's been so warm and, like, not wet, but like the humidity so warm, the rust's been growing really, really well. So might be a little more than normal, maybe not, but the fairways are pretty generous because it's a municipal golf course, unless they really started growing things out. But the rough should be a little thicker to keep you in the fairways, the plans there. Other than that, not a ton of bunkers. There's four holes with water on it. And then around the greens, you got some weird, like the fringe is, it's not really fringy. It's kind of like weird cutouts. So you might be able to putt more like a Lynx off some of these than you would before. It's kind of like we saw at some other Houston courses as well, or Texas courses as well. So it'll be new for all of us checking all this out. Just kind of think five par fives, long par threes. You need a good iron, good long iron, or you know, good, I guess, hybrid type player to get that approach shot in there and then run hot on the Bermuda greens. What kind of stats are you looking at, Jesse?
Par five scoring, you know, five par fives. You know, if Brooks is in on the design, then I'm going to look at distance, stroke gain off the tee, stroke gain approach. I don't know how this golf course is going to play. So, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of brand new golf courses, but, you know, I would imagine these guys will tear it up. It is a muni. I mean, literally, you know, we say that a lot, but this is literally a municipal golf course. So, you know, you got to expect the scores are going to be way under par, probably mid-20s, I would imagine, depending on the weather, of course. So birdie or better is going to have to be weighted, and I'm just going to probably go with a lot of bombers who make a lot of birdies.
Yeah, birdies, par five scoring. The Texas narrative usually is a thing. Like the guys that grew up in Texas or played a lot in Texas, I'm not going to play Jordan Spieth. I don't play Jordan Spieth. But there's a group of guys that might get a little bump if I'm trying to negotiate things, let's put it that way. And then I like the idea of the bomber. I think they're going to have an upper hand here if the rough isn't as bad. But then again, like I said, we don't know. Maybe they let it grow out. Like this is literally – we've had so many new courses this fall swing. It's been pretty wild trying to decipher it all. One thing we can't say is they've pretty much all been birdie fests. So that's one thing we can look at. We'll see how this plays out based on wind. FanshareSports.com helps you out with all the good ownership rankings, other stats that we can look at. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS for 20% off the package of your choice. And I just did a couple of things coming in recent form, last six events in DraftKings scoring, leading the way, Dustin Johnson. But second, this is where it gets fun, Cam Davis, averaging 96 points a tournament over the last six. Russell Henley, Stu Goat comes in fourth. Griot and M, Shank, Laird, Higgs, Hostler. So with as many big names are in there, there's some very interesting names in that list over the last six overall. Now, when we look at the last six events on Bermuda greens, Tyrell Hatton leads the way, DraftKings scoring-wise, followed by Alexander Noren, Landry, Cam Davis again, Sergio, and Doc Redman. And then last but not least, par 72, 7,400 or longer, last six events, Vic Hovland, Charlie Hoffman, Molinari, surprisingly, on the list. But I think a lot of those come back like over a year ago. Finau, Henley, and Shank are some of the ones in the top five there. So some names kind of overlapped as we are used to in this event. But let's get at it, Jesse. Let's get to the DraftKings picks on this one. We have five guys over $10,000. DJ back from COVID, 11-5. Finau, 10-9. Brooks, 10-6. Hatton, 10-3. And Matsuyama at 10K. Where are you going on this one?
I feel like I'm a broken record when it comes to this 10K and above range. I mean, they're all playable, especially DJ, sixth, third, second, first, second in his last, five events there. Finau, I like him a lot. He's obviously a prolific scorer on par fives. I don't really want to play Brooks because my hope for Brooks is that he misses the cut this week. And then we get him at much less ownership next week, which I don't know that it's going to be that high to begin with, but I want him as low as possible. I think he's got a good chance next week. Did you see the Instagram story with him and his girlfriend?
Amazing. Yeah. Everyone knows, listen to the show enough, knows I'm like a fanboy of Brooks because I love his attitude. And that thing you're talking about, I don't know exactly which one you're talking about, makes me love him even more.
Did you watch the whole thing? Like there was like,
yeah, I watched all this. Just give us 100
videos. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of it was too much, but the early one about why basically do I have that, like, you know, persona of you know, meathead persona just to F with people.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Love it. And I don't know where he was playing there, and you know, I'm not going to read too much into it, but he was also like 7 under through 8 or something. So
yeah, it looked like a basketball course. We might
I know he's just out there playing by himself, and you know, whatever, no pressure. But anyways, you know, I don't know. I don't really want him to be that successful this week. So I mean, I think he's still a fine GPP play. Hatton is most definitely playable. Not a huge fan of the price on him, though. I mean, you know, he obviously played well at CJ Cup. He finished third, but he was 9,600 there. 10,000th of Zozo, finished his 28th. You know, not great. It's about mid-pack for that tournament there. And I'm not a huge fan. Hideki, I don't know, man. You know, I mean, he could be – he could run odd. He may not. He's very up and down. I never get him right. So, I mean, Finau's my main play up here. And then DJ Close, you know, 1B or whatever. And then Brooks is a GPP play this week and next.
Yeah, next week it's going to be heavy Brooks week. I'm just scared that everyone's going to be like, regardless of what he does this week, it's Brooks in a major.
Yeah.
Like, that's just going to be
I don't know, though.
Brooks in a major.
If you look at him, obviously coming off an injury.
Yeah, it's and been then, rough.
You know, 28th miscut, 29th second at the St. Jude way back in August. So, I mean, he's not coming in super hot like DJ is. I mean, fucking DJ. And he hasn't finished outside the top six in 5 tournaments. I mean,
well, the only thing that could slow DJ down was COVID.
Yeah.
Like, he was just going to mow through people.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, it's a steep price tag. Like, I'm not going to say don't play him. It's just, and there are guys in the 6K you can work with, but it really dilutes things for you real quick with DJ. So, if you can make it work, go for it. No problem. I like Brooks a lot this week. I understand everything you say. I don't disagree with it, actually, with what you're saying, because I will want him big time at the Masters as well. But, I like Brooks this week. I know it's lazy to say that he knows his golf course, but literally he designed it to play the way he wants to play a golf course. That seems like a pretty good way to go about things. And then, you know, it comes down to Hatton and Finau, and I think you hit some good points there that I think those two guys go low owned because of their price points alone. Hatton at 10-3 doesn't have the best finishes on stateside consistently enough, or, you know, over he's won on the European Tour, hasn't really gotten the whole shebang very often on the PGA. So 10-3 is going to bring in some low ownership. I think Finau at 10-9 is going to be extremely low owned. I think that's a sneaky play, like you said, with the par 5 scoring he can bring out there. And just, you know, he'll have a couple bogeys, but he'll run off like an eagle and 2 and 3 birdies or something. So drafting scoring-wise, he's always huge. So even at 10-9, he might not – most of the time we say these guys have to, like, finish in the top 2 or 3. Finau can finish, like, 8th and still finish, like, 2nd in drafting scoring. That's what he does. So Finau at 10-9, I think, is very, very nice up here. And you get $600 savings off of DJ. All right. 9K range. You got Hovland at 98, Scheffler 96, Henley 94, M93, Scott 92, Sergio 91, Jason Day 9000. If you're not going under the 10K range, you can get a couple of these guys. Who do you like here?
Yeah, start with Hovland, 98. Like him quite a bit. 47th, not great in his last start in the Zozo. 12th CJ, 13th US Open, 14th before that, the Tour Championship. He's playing fine. Scheffler, Texas boy, 17th. Last time out with the Zozo, 52nd, not a good start at the CJ. But when he kind of gets it going, you know, I'm not a huge Scheffler guy because the one time, like, I went all in on him, I think he shot, like, 75 million. 79. Adam Scott would be the guy, in my opinion, in this range. 9,200. I don't think many people will be on him. He hasn't played – doesn't play much to begin with, and he hasn't played since the U.S. Open. So, going on a month and a half that he hasn't even, you know, been on tour. Of course, he was going to make some starts. He tested positive for COVID. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
So, Adam Scott at 9,200 would be my, like, most favorite play here in this range, you know, by far. I think Sergio's interesting. Sergio's running in form and going into Augusta. I think he'll be interesting next week. Jay Day at 9,000, you know, he's just, I don't know, man. Like, just
tilt your face off.
60th at the Zozo, then WD'd the CJ Cup. Another guy who could be sneaky next week. I mean, you know, Jason Day should, and he's, I know he's played well at Augusta in the past, and so it'll be interesting. Next week, man, I'm sorry. I know this is not next week, so I probably shouldn't be sitting here saying next week, but
that's all good.
Pretty excited about it.
Yeah, Hovland's interesting. I think cash, especially because I like him to make the cut. He just, you know, for me, I feel like he's always finishing in the 20 somewhere, so it's really tough for me on him. I know he's been better than that at times, but I usually don't go to him. Henley, I do like a 94. I think he goes low owned because of the price bump. Everyone's pricing him up because it used to be his tournament. Well, different golf course now, but coming in phenomenal form, as you were saying. You know, T4, T3 his last two, making cut after cut after cut. He's made eight straight cuts, nine of his last 10 with about five top 10s in there. So I like Henley a lot at 94, especially in cash games this week. Sungjae M, I love. Similar to the thoughts on Tony Finau, M is a birdie machine, starting to figure it out after that rough start when COVID came back. You know, T41 at the Zozo, T45 at CJ, but had a ton of birdies. Like DK scoring-wise, way outperformed his finishing position. And then T13 at the Shriners, T28 at Sanderson's, 22nd US Open, 11th Tour Championship. He's getting it figured out with the irons. $9,300, I can definitely jump on there. And I do like Sergio at 91. I believe he resides in Texas when he's not overseas. I know he's helped design some other Texas golf courses down here. You mentioned getting into form, 21st at the CJ, 43rd in the first at Sanderson's. I can definitely jump on Sergio at 91 at probably low ownership. So I like that quite a bit, especially in GPPs. 8K range. It's a sad day, Jesse, because Lanto Griffin's up to $8,900. And as much as I love Lanto Griffin, I don't think I can pay $8,900 for Lanto Griffin. We got Doc Redman at 88, Connors at 87, ZJ 86, Harmon 85, Spieth 84, Siwoo 83, Lowry 82, Davis 81, Han and Sink at 8,000. Other interesting prices there. What do you like in the 8K range?
So Lanto hasn't been above $8,000 since the Bermuda last year, basically a year almost to the day. He was 10,600. Well, at the Mayakoba, a couple weeks later, he was 9,000, and then he went down to 8,000. And anyways, long story short, hasn't been above, you know, 8K. I don't know. I want to play him just because I know he's got the length, and then he's playing well, 11th and 7th in his last two starts. So at 8,900, I like him. I think Doc will be popular, especially coming off that finish last week. Corey Connors, you know, I feel like he always just has his guys who play him week in and week out, because if he ever does get the putter going, that's a big if, you know. Zach Johnson at 8,600. So a couple of old guys here. We're going to follow along with this old guy narrative. Been a long time since ZJ's won anything. I don't even remember the last time it was. It might have been like the 2015 fucking British Open or something. Yep. 19th, 23rd, 8th in his last three starts. You know, obviously the 8th place finish was at the U.S. Open. The last two starts, Shriners and Sanderson's Farms, weak fields, whatever, still getting top 25s there. All four rounds in the 60s at the Shriners. I think he's interesting at 8,600. I don't see many people playing him. Harmon, probably a little bit of a different story, but he has not missed a cut since the Memorial back in July. And a bunch of, you know, just pretty solid finishes. Nothing outstanding, but, you know, mixes in some top 15s. So at 85, I think he's interesting. Cam Davis at 8,100. Mini Brooks Koepka. When I say mini, I just mean golf game wise, because I think he's probably actually taller than Brooks. But 52nd last time out at the Shriners, 6th, Sanderson. Hasn't missed a cut since the Workday Charity Open back in July. I like him quite a bit. James Hahn at 88,000. What the fuck is this price? Okay. $8,000 for James Hahn.
Look at his finishes, man. He's been on fire lately.
I'm getting ready to get there. So that's what everybody's going to say, right?
Yep.
Everybody's going to say, what the fucking James Hahn, $8,000. This guy has not won since I think it was the – shit, I can't. The Wells Fargo in Charlotte like 3 or 4 years ago or whatever. But, I mean, three straight top tens. Now, I don't know if I can play him. But, like, if I have 150 lineups, if I'm playing 150 lineups, I'm gonna sprinkle in some James Hahn. Because nobody's going to play him, first of all. He's not at this price, you know, he should be less than 3% owned in your big contests. So if you want the GPP upside, obviously three straight top tens. Before that, three straight miscuts.
Yep. It's risky, but see, those three miscuts were in June and July.
Right.
The three other tournaments started in September. He took some time off. He's on medical exemptions. 8,000 is insane. I'm with you there. But
what they were thinking with this price is beyond me. I have no idea. I mean, I can't wait till we look at odds here in a little bit. I'm going to look at his odds because there's no way he's in the same neighborhood as, you know, Cam Davis and Denny McCarthy as far as odds go. I mean, it's just...
No, he's a little bit behind them. Yes, yes, he is.
It's just wacky to me. But, you know, if you're playing a bunch of lineups, I would sprinkle in some James Hahn. Just saying.
I like it. Yeah, Doc will be popular. I just don't mind people using him if you want. But he's going to be very popular. Harmon, I like at 85. I like him more on shorter courses, per se. But he's also a guy that can grind it out. And if it is a birdie, like if it's a scoreable golf course like we think it's going to be, he'll still be just fine, especially on those par fives. He might not eagle him, but he's going to set himself up for some nice birdie chances. So 85 for Harmon, I can get on board there. Siwoo's a guy I like at 83 because he always comes in low-owned because everyone's terrified of Siwoo. But coming in playing good golf again, T17 at the CJ, T8 at Shriners, 37th at Sanderson's, missed the cut at the U.S. Open. We just take that as a happened to a lot of people. And then he made about six straight cuts prior to that. So playing really, really good golf, $8,300. Don't mind Siwoo at all. Like Cam Davis at 81 quite a bit as well. You mentioned it, Hahn at 8,000. I'm going to mention the Stugo at 8,000. T4 at Bermuda, 64th Shriners, 12th at Sanderson's, first at Safeway. The man is feeling it on these birdieable golf courses. So 8K, we usually like him a lot cheaper. If you want to use him, especially in cash, like Hahn's the better GPP play, big time, in the Stewart Sink. But I think in cash, if you want to go Stewart Sink, it's a little pricey, but I still feel pretty safe at 8K with Stugoat. So that's where I'm looking in the 8K range. 7K range now, it gets fun. I'm not going to name them all off. So who do you got, 7,500 or 79?
Start up top there with Denny. McCarthy, 7,900. Strong showing last week, finished fourth. 57th at the Shriners, sixth the week before that at Sanderson. So, I mean, some, you know, two top sixes in his last three starts. Pretty solid, obviously, much weaker fields than we have this week. So, bear that in mind. Lee Westwood at 7,800. Remember this name for next week. He has not missed a cut since the Arnold Palmer. So basically since the restart, he hasn't missed a cut. He's been playing a lot of European Tour golf, but even made the cut and finished 13th at the U.S. Open. A lot of top 20s. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 top 20s in his last seven starts at 7,800. Wyndham Clark, solid finish last week. Finished second, 13th the week before, or the his last time before that, which was the Shriners. Again, a weaker field there. Eric Van Ruin at 7,700. You know, he's been playing over in Europe the last couple tournaments, 27th, 6th, and he made the cut at the U.S. Open, finished 23rd. So at 7,700, don't mind him a bit, but got my eye on old Lee Westwood here.
I like the Lee Westwood shout. I got another Euro later on, a guy I mentioned last week played well, and I'll mention him again a little later. But yeah, Denny, I just can't quit Denny. As long as he's getting to the greens, he can putt like a madman. So he had a big Sunday. I think he shot 8-under on Sunday to move up the leaderboard. When the putter gets going for him, it's over. So McCarthy at 79, don't hate that at all. I'll have probably too much of him. Again, EVR at 77, I like quite a bit. The iron play he can bring out here. And if it does get windy, we're good to go there. The other guy I like is Dylan Fratelli at $7,600. T11 at the Zozo, T69, T34 in his last few events. A guy we know that can birdie in bunches. A guy that can play in the wind. 7,600 for Fratelli is a guy I don't mind at all. And if kind of like your James Hahn comment, if you're making 150 lineups, you're doing like the core cascade and you want one kind of dart out there in a 20 max, JT Poston at 7,500. His only missed cut in his last six events of the U.S. Open. He got 51st at the CJ, 27th at Shriners, 3rd at Sanderson's. He's a guy that can get hot at times at $7,500. I don't hate him at all in a field like this. 7,000 to 74. Do you like Phil Mickelson? Or are you going somewhere? Oh, Phil 75. We don't have to talk about him. Stenson, Charlie Hoffman, so many guys. Who do you like down here?
Do I like Phil? No. I'll just go ahead and say no. So go ahead and put him down for a made cut and probably a top 20. I mean, I'm skipping all the way down. 7,100. Start with Ollie Schneiderjans. Yeah, obviously he's not played a whole hell of a lot. I know he's been playing on the Corn Ferry. Not really sure about his starts there, but coming off a third place finish last week, he hit the ball really well last week. Putter was working, scrambled around very well. And he's, you know, got that nice hair. And then Harry Higgs, 7,100. I don't really have to talk about him. If you listen to this pod very often, I just play Harry Higgs every week that he's in the field. Made two straight cuts you know, so, and then Matthew Neesmith, 7,000, eighth place finish at Shriners, 17th the week before that at Sanderson. And that was like him coming off of just a streak of missed cuts. So he's figured something out there and is playing a lot better. I'm interested in Tyler Duncan at, you know, 7,000 as well. He's very boom or bust GPP, but he can go on some streaks. He did finish basically mid pack at the Zozo and CJ Cups, which were both no cut events, and missed the cut at the Shriners, did make the cut at the US Open. So, I mean, he's very up or down, boom or bust. I'd rather have Neesmith, but as a GPP, like lower own play, I would look at, you know, Tyler Duncan.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Christoph Ventura, back-to-back missed cuts, probably going to lower that ownership. I'm going back at him. He missed the cut. He got winded, basically, at the Bermuda, missed on the number. Shriners, that crazy 7-under, he basically missed on the number, I believe. So I don't mind going back to Christoph at 73 at low ownership. Usually he's very popular. Now we'll get a discount at him. Marty Party Laird, again, if it is windy, it's even better for Marty. If not, I still don't care. The guy is actually playing really well. Come off the W at the Shriners, taking a few weeks off. For the 28th at Sanderson's, 65th at Punta Cana, 6th at Puerto Rico, 43rd at the Genesis. So it's not all just small fields. But give me some Marty Party at 73, especially if we get a forecast of wind coming up here. And then other guys that I don't mind, Adam Shank is just the I can't miss a cut machine right now. So if you want to keep riding him, and he's doing well, T26, T27, T32, he's usually very, very affordable. He's made at least 10 cuts in a row, if not more. Scott Piercy's been playing some good golf at 72 as well, and no one will own Scott Piercy. So think about that in your GPPs. And then you mentioned Harry Higgs. That's just a staple that is mispriced every week. So, yes, Mr. Higgs. 6K range, who are you going with?
Yeah, there's some plays down here. This is not a huge fan of this region this week, so I'll probably stay away from it for the most part. But stats-wise, like Bo Hostler, kind of, obviously, another Texas guy, if you want to go along with the Texas narrative, hasn't missed a cut since the Wyndham. Padraig Harrington, very similar in the fact that he hasn't missed a cut since the Irish Open, which was a month ago or whatever. But four straight made cuts. Played last week, finished 26th for Padraig there. Justin Harding, you know, I don't know if I would play him necessarily, but he's – for the stats wise on my Fantasy Labs model, relatively speaking to the rest of the guys in the same range here, he sticks out. Played the Scottish Open last time, finished 30th, two straight missed cuts before that. So up and down there. John Huh at 6,300. He's like probably too far up the stats model for me to be comfortable, but I mean, he hasn't really played much. Has he been playing Korn Ferry? Do you know?
I think so, because he hasn't been playing on PGA. He might be getting a medical, too. I'm not sure. A lot of guys in this field are getting medical exemptions.
So the last time he played was the Shriners. He finished 19th. And then the last start I have for him before that was the Honda Classic back in March. So
I'm guessing medicals is what I'd be guessing.
Yeah. You know, he had a bunch of greens at the Shriners. And, you know, if you wanted to hop on there, you most definitely could. There's some guys down here with some pedigree. You know, if you look at like somebody like Chris Kirk, Kevin Chappell. Did you see Grayson Murray recently on Twitter?
Oh, that guy's a special individual. Special. That's all I'm going to say.
He's in the field. You know, was he going to WD, miss the cut?
I don't know. Get an itchy Twitter finger. Who knows? you never know with him. But for me down here, Matt McNeely at 69 is a guy that I'll take that price tag all day as a birdie maker like him. I do like Hostler at 69 as well. Texas cut making machine, used him last week, played very well. So both of them are in play for me. You mentioned Potty Harrington. That's the guy I liked last week. He's the Euro guy. Kind of to your Westwood, I will go Potty at 6,800. I like that. You got Homa there. I'm not going to play Homa, but 68 for Homa is not too shabby either. But Tom Hoge at 67, you want a guy that's just making cuts. He's still very, very affordable. T47, T38, T24, T28, T29, T65. Missed the Northern Trust. And so he's made 9 of his last 10 cuts. That's pretty solid for $6,700. Got no problem going to him. And then the other two I had written down, like, so there's many guys you can kind of look at and make cases for. Carlos Ortiz, T35 at Zozo, T48 at CJ Cup. Prior to that, though, missed the Shriners, missed the Sandersons, T48 at Safeway. He's a Texas guy, $6,700. He could be an interesting GPP type play. And the last one I'll mention, just because he's really cheap and the upside can be there, is CT Pan at $6,400. T52, T12 in the last two events. He's made five straight cuts. He's made eight of his last nine cuts. $6,400. You could do worse. I'm not going to say I'm going to go run to play him, but interesting price point at 64. Right next to our boy Will Gordon, who had a T34 last week, but I probably won't be playing this week. All right, let's recap things. Jesse, 10K and above, who's your number one play?
I'm going to say Finau, but it's really Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, I'm going to go BK, Brooks, Koepka. 9K range, who's your top play?
Adam Scott.
Sungjae Im for me. 8K range, go with two guys.
It's going to be weird. Zach Johnson, Cameron Davis.
I'm going to go with Siwoo and Cameron Davis. So we got weird. It's okay. 7,500 to 7,900. Go with one, I guess.
Lee Westwood.
I'm going to go with Danny McCarthy. I just can't quit him at all. 7,000 to 7,400. Give me one.
Neesmith.
I'll go with Shank. No, I'm going to go with Marty Laird. Marty Laird will be my call. Then 6K range, go with two.
Padraig Harrington and Sean Huh.
I like Potty, but I'll go Hostler and Hoagie. Those are my two. So we got you covered there, everybody. Let's start a cash game lineup. What three guys would you start your cash game builds with?
I would probably start with some guys who I'll just jinx into missing some cuts here. Lee Westwood would be one. I think Stugoat is semi-cash viable. And if you look at somebody like ZJ or Brian Harmon, you know, these guys are all making cuts in bunches.
Yeah, I got Henley, McCarthy, and Shank be where I'd be starting things out. I would even be okay with Hostler and cash if you need to go cheaper. I'm cool with that. GPP, now who are you starting with, three guys?
For a GPP, like, you know, throwing in Adam Scott, you know, I don't mind throwing in Brooks Koepka, like I talked about before. I think James Hahn is GPP worthy. You know, if I'm playing one lineup, again, I'm not playing James Hahn, but I'm building a lineup here. And then Matthew Neesmith.
I'll go with Finau, Sungjae, and Cam Davis. Start with those three. It's going to be all the birdies. Then I'll figure it out from there. So, all right, I got the odds up. James Hahn, 80 to 1.
Yeah, I was looking at the range there. I mean, I guess it kind of fits in. I'm just surprised that the odds makers,
they're believing.
Made it that low, because I mean he's kind of in the same range as where he's priced in DraftKings, so it makes sense. Yep. A few guys that I like, Hovland at 25 there, I think that's got some value. Adam Scott at 33, I know he's not played a lot. Zach Johnson at 50,
that's not bad.
That's it.
Not bad. I think Sergio at 40 is pretty interesting in this field. I could look at that a little bit more. And then just for fun, sliding down and looking at guys, thinking maybe, you know, get another random winner this week. You know, you got your boy Higgs is 100 to 1. That'd be fun. Imagine how many Titos would come out of that thing. Yeah. That would be a part T. But like long shots, like I think a Potty Harrington top 20, he's 125 to 1 to get a top 20. I think that's got some most like Bo Hostler's 150 to 1. If I want to go top 20 or 25, whatever they do there, those can be intriguing. But like Sergio at 40 is probably like where I'd kind of draw the line. Maybe EVR at 66, because one of these days he's going to figure it out on the tour. He's really, really good. So one of these days he'll get it going. But yeah, Brooks at 18, no. Sungjae at 28 is another guy I wouldn't mind. Sprinkle a little on there at 28 to 1. All right, final thoughts, Jesse, on the Houston Open before we head to the Masters.
Thankfully, it's the last tournament before the Masters, and then we get another one in 6 months. I mean, it's going to be quite epic.
Yes. Now, do you think we have fans at the second Masters?
I don't know, man.
We'll leave that to a political show.
Yeah, I mean, it's We didn't even talk politics on here. It was good for us, dude.
Yes, yes. I don't want to listen to a sports show talking politics. We're not going to bring in here. That's not what we're here for. We're here to make fun of people and ourselves of being bad at DFS. No, but that's how we roll. But yeah, if you have any questions, we always have the free Slack chat open. It's always popping there. Kevin's in there. Jesse's in there. I'm in there. Other guys are in there. It's always always some fun stuff going there for golf, and then we do football and every other sport you can think of. So come check all that out. Just ask one of us. We'll get you in there. It's free. Free. That's all I gotta say. Check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick. If you could rate and review the podcast on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. But for now, this was your Houston Open preview. Always pressing PGA DFS podcast. We'll be back with you next week for the Masters. Anybody ever wonder?